This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Advent series, the first one looking at hope, how God has given us hope in prophecy, that we know what's going to happen, and it gives us hope. We also looked at faith, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we want to please God, if we want to have access to that hope, access to the joy, we must believe and trust our lives to our Lord. And this message is about joy. Joy can be found in almost anything, depending on the person. You know, different people find joy in different things. Whether it be a pet or a hobby or a movie or a kind of food. Joy can be found in anything, really. It is said of this one woman who had a sign on her house saying, "Every visitor here brings us joy. Some when they come and some when they leave." This sermon is about joy. And the title of this message is Mega Joy. There's a reason for that. But I've got to say something first. When I was approaching this message, I kind of felt like it's out of place at first. I felt like it's out of place to preach on joy in our society, because it seems like everybody's already got it. We're too entertained. We're too satisfied with the things of this world. Who needs joy? Or hear a sermon on joy when we've got it, right? A sermon on joy should be preached to a Christian community in the Middle East, wondering how long they've got before they are targeted. Right? We've already got it here, right? Well, listen to this. In 2020, these two individuals, one I can pronounce her name, Deborah Brody, the other one, an Asian name, can't pronounce, published a study for the National Center for Health Statistics where they recorded information from 2015 to 2018 on the use of antidepressants. Their key findings were that during 2015 to 2018, this is published in 2020, they had to do the research, during those years, 13.2% of adults aged 18 and over used antidepressant medications in a 30-day period. That is an incredible number. In 2018, the U.S. population was 326.69 million. That means of those 326.69 million, 43.12 million people were using antidepressants. That means one in every eight people. Now, I want to be careful. Depression is a real condition. This is not a message preaching against antidepressants. Sometimes it is nothing more than a chemical imbalance. And sometimes there are legitimate forms of medication that can help. This is not a rant against antidepressants. But the point of this is this. If 1 in 8 people are on antidepressants in America, there's probably a joy problem. The National Institute of Mental Health reported that suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of over 47,500 people. Suicide was the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages 10 and 34. Second. And the fourth leading cause of individuals between 35 and 44. There were nearly 2.5 times as many suicides in the United States as there were homicides. You hear a lot in the news about the increase of homicides, violence in cities, people shooting each other to death. Well, has anyone addressed the fact that people are killing themselves? And these numbers are, I believe, are not factoring in since COVID happened. 1 in 50 people in America are ending their own lives because they just can't take it anymore. If that's the case, America probably has a joy problem. So we need a joy sermon. How about you? You know, we've got all the prosperity. But do you feel like you struggle with joy? We've got the means, we've got the access to shelter and food and clothing and pleasure. But do you struggle with joy sometimes? I know I do. I'm an American, and I need a joy sermon. I need a message from angels telling me, behold, I am coming to you telling you good news of great joy. How about you? Don't let the happy-go-lucky atmosphere of our society deceive you into thinking everybody's okay. Everybody's just fine. We are told differently by these numbers. And we need joy. The shepherds in our text got to hear a joy sermon, Luke chapter 2. They were going about their day in verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds. Now these shepherds were usually ceremonially unclean. Couldn't participate in the regular activities of the temple. They were outsiders. They stayed in the fields. It doesn't tell us, but there's a reason why God sent an angel to them. They had to hear a joy sermon. Behold, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And not surprisingly, they were greatly afraid. Remember in our message about with Mary, just the absurdity of it. There's shepherds in the field. Why would God go to them? God is teaching us that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you're going through, God wants to bring you an individual message and wants to bless you. They were greatly afraid. The glory of God shone around them. They got to see the majesty and glorious brilliance of God Almighty. And the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. What is that? Good news. I bring you good news. They got to hear some good news that day. And in light of the emotional, spiritual difficulties of our society, I think we need to hear good news of what? Great joy. I've got good news for you, shepherds. It's of great joy. Great joy. That word great in the original is megas. Megas. It's translated great, large, big, fierce, loud. That's the kind of joy that the angels are delivering to the shepherds. Look back in verse 9. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were, what? Mega afraid. Same word. Go back in chapter 1. Mary visits Elizabeth. In verse 39, Mary arose in those days, went to Elizabeth. In verse 41, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a mega voice. That's the word. Mega. There are a lot of sources of joy in this world, but it's not a mega joy. It's just a small joy. We've got blessings. We've got friends. We've got family. During the holidays, we've got good food, really good food. We've got things that bring us joy. But listen, having joy in these things, it's okay. But we are given a message of mega joy. We were made for a joy that is greater than any joy of this world. A joy that lasts. A joy that lingers. A joy that carries through even in difficult situations. We can have a reason to rejoice. Now listen, in our society, there are so many sources to make us happy. To make us feel good. To give us this small sense of joy. But the problem is, when those things are taken away, so is the joy, because the thing is gone. If our joy is ultimately in the weather, when the weather becomes an icy blast of obnoxious crystal pellet-filled air slapping your face continually and causing your nose to instantaneously freeze and fall off, then your joy grows cold. If our joy is in our health, then when we get sick, our joy becomes sickening. If our joy is in our material goods, then once something happens to damage those goods, our joy gets damaged. It's like the man who wanted so much this nice, fancy sports car. And he saved up for it. That's all he wanted. He got it. He paid for it. And he was driving it down the road the first day, just going down, feeling good about himself. Had the convertible down, letting his hair flap in the wind. And he parked. And he went to get out. And as he opened the door, a taxi cab barreling down and hit the door, knocked it right off, and kept going. And this man just got out. He was so frustrated. He was so angry. He had put his joy in this vehicle, and he just said, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to figure this out. He called the cop. The cop came, assessed the damage, and the cop asked him, well, who hit you? He said, it was a yellow cab. He said, we're in New York City. And he got so angry. And the cop looked at him, and he said, sir, I think you have a greater problem right now. I think you have a problem with materialism. You're putting your joy in the things of this world. And the man said, who are you to give me a lecture? And the officer said, sir, look down there. And he pointed at the ground and he saw that the man, his wrist had been severed from his hand. His hand had been severed from his arm when the vehicle came by and knocked the door off. And there was his hand lying on the ground. And his stump, he looked at the stump and realized it was severed. And he looked at the officer. He said, "Oh no, not my Rolex too." What is our joy in? There are three questions we want to find out about this mega joy. Where does this mega joy come from? What is this mega joy like? And finally, how do I receive, Lord God, how do I receive this mega joy? First, what is this mega joy? Where does this mega joy come from? Verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. The angel said to them, "I give you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." We're in verse 10. "Which will be to all people." By the way, that means you, in case you didn't think you qualified as a person. That means you. So you are in on this. You have access to this. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." "This will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Where does this mega joy come from? It comes from Christ. The source of this mega joy is in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. No one else. And unless you or I or anybody else knows Jesus Christ as Savior, born again in Him, you don't have access to mega joy. You don't. You have access to little joy. But what happens when you lose your Rolex? Or your health? This is something that is eternal. Why? Because Christ is eternal. So as long as this joy is in Christ, this mega joy comes from Him, as long as He exists, you're okay, you've got it. The moment Christ ceases to exist, which is never, you cease to have mega joy. Because Christ is eternal. It comes from Him. Christ is all-powerful. This mega joy is all-powerful. Christ is all-present. As an attribute of the triune God, this joy can be all-present in your life, overtaking every inch of you, even in suffering, sadness, difficulty, grieving. There it is. Isn't that odd? Because it's not dependent on these circumstances around you. It's in Him. Christ is eternal. The joy is eternal. Christ is all-powerful. The joy is all-powerful. Christ is all-present. The joy is all-present. So long as the joy is from Him, in Him, it is greater than any joy of this world. And it is mega joy. Where does this joy come from? It comes from Christ. What is this mega joy like? Second question. What is this mega joy like? Turn, if you will, into John chapter 15, the next book over. You're in John chapter 15. What is this mega joy like? John chapter 15. Verse 11, Jesus is talking to His disciples. If you're a disciple, He's talking to you this morning. He's talking to His disciples, and He says this in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that My joy," okay, that's the mega joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy of Jesus Christ, "that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Mega joy is a full joy. It is a full joy. He says that My joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Okay, chapter 16, same book, verse 20. Jesus is still talking to them. "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I can verify that's true. He's telling the disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be on the cross. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And then verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. This is a full joy. Chapter 17, same book, verse 13. But now I come to you, he's praying to his Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that is my disciples, may have my joy, mega joy, fulfilled in themselves. Fulfilled in themselves. This mega joy is a full joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. That's the kind of joy that it is. It is Christ's joy that is an eternal, overabounding joy that is in us. It is a mega joy and it is full. How many of you have eaten a good meal on a Thanksgiving day? Some salty foods on the table. And you eat to your heart's content. And you feel, you know, I'm full. I don't want to eat anything else. But then all of a sudden something happens. All that salt creates a reaction in your body and you become so thirsty. So overwhelmed with thirst. And you go to the sink and you open that faucet and you fill up that tall glass as full as it can and you take a sip and that sip turns into a gulp, 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 downing it until it's gone. And then something happens. Your stomach feels like it doubles in size. Because all that food that you just ate soaked up that water like a sponge and expanded your stomach, and now you thought you were full before. But this is beyond full. This is the kind of full that we can experience, only it's not unpleasant. It is a full joy that overtakes us to the point where we feel like it's going to burst out of us. I'm not talking about happy-go-lucky. That's not this. This is an internal gift of God that is constant and full and overtaking if we allow it. It is a full joy. It is also an overflowing joy. It's not just a full joy. Secondly, is a mega joy is an overflowing joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. What's going on in here? You don't have to turn there, but Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he's telling them how the churches in a certain area called Macedonia, they were struggling financially. They were being persecuted. But yet they, out of their poverty, were willing to give to help other churches in the area. And so he says to them, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, that in a great affliction, okay, they were persecuted, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What is he saying? They had so much joy they just couldn't contain it, and they had to let it overflow, and they gave to help this church. Our mega joy is so mega that not only does it fill us, but it overflows out into others. It's like we can't contain it in ourselves. We don't have enough room. A red solo cup cannot contain Niagara Falls. It is an overflowing joy. And a test of how much mega joy we have in Christ Jesus is how much does it overflow into others? When the cab hits our car door and drives off, are we so depleted of our joy that we must now therefore steal it from others in order to replenish? Or do we in that moment still have the fullness of joy and are able to overflow into others? Here is the test of our lives. If our joy is in something of this world, when that something is damaged, threatened, or taken away, our joy becomes damaged, threatened, or taken away. In order to replenish that lost joy, we have to what? We have to find something else to replenish it, or we have to take it from somebody else to replenish it. We steal others' joys around us. But if we have mega joy, it's an overflowing joy. It's an endless supply of joy. And so even if something is taken from us and we grieve over its loss, or something is done to us and it hurts, or it does make us sad, perhaps it brings a dark cloud, but ultimately, deep down, by the power of the Holy Spirit who bears fruit to those who have faith in Him, the joy remains. And so we can say, with the Apostle Paul, I am sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Mega joy is a full joy, an overflowing joy. Thirdly, mega joy is a surprising joy. It is a surprising joy. And this is perhaps the most beautiful aspect of joy, and perhaps why the angels announced to the shepherds why this joy is a mega joy, is because it's surprising. It catches you by surprise. It shows up when you least expect it. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy, a memoir of his life. And he says this, an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction, I call it joy. Listen to that again. He says this about joy. It is an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. How many of you have ever had an unsatisfied desire? You want something. You crave something. He's saying that that feeling of an unsatisfied desire is desirable more than what is satisfying. I call it joy and must be sharply distinguished from both happiness and pleasure, he says. Joy, in my sense, has indeed one characteristic and one only in common with them. That is happiness and pleasure. The fact that anyone who has experienced it will want it again. I doubt whether anyone who has tasted it would ever, if both were in his power, exchange it for all the pleasures in the world. But then joy is never in our power, and pleasure often is. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is how joy looks like. It's surprising. In Hebrews chapter 10, you had these believers. They were Jewish believers, and they were putting faith in Jesus Christ. As a result, they were being persecuted. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Persecuted Jewish believers. And the writer says to them, remember those days, because they were struggling. They wanted to abandon the faith in the test of trial. And the writer says to them, remember those former days, brothers. After you were illuminated, after you became Christians, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. You had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Now that's surprising. I don't hear of people joyfully accepting the plundering of their goods. They're being persecuted. Somebody comes on their door and says, we're going to take your stuff. And they say, okay. That's what the verse says. Why? It continues, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. That's the worst point in someone's life to experience joy when someone wants to take their recliner. It's surprising. In the book of Acts, the same thing happens, Acts 16. You don't have to turn there, but the Bible goes on about Paul and the other apostles or disciples. They're going around spreading the gospel, and they go to this one town called Philippi, where we get our book of Philippians. And they're spreading the gospel, and there's this one girl who's demon-possessed, and she's bothering them. And so one of them turns around and says, "In the name of Jesus, I expel the demon," which the demon is expelled. And unfortunately, that created such a ruckus in the town, because this one girl had created a prophet for them, that they take the disciples. And in verse 21, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods." So they were beaten. "And when they had laid many stripes on them," that means that their backs were striped with blood from the beatings, "they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them." It's surprising. "I just got flogged. I'm thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. I think I'll sing some hymns." This is the mega joy that we are promised. What this means is that in the moments of your life when anyone else would be completely without hope, completely despairing, without any sense of peace or any sense of joy, you're radiant. And this is why it's surprising. This is what it comes down to. When Christians act like that in the Middle East against their persecutors, it becomes attractive. What's going on in that person? Why are they like that? Because they plunder their goods. It tells the world that the source is not in the world. It tells the world that there's something other than this world with which we receive joy. It tells the world that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be careful. And I've said this before. It's not happy-go-lucky, positive thinking, look on the bright side. And I want to be careful because I'm not a persecuted Christian in the sense of what we see going on in the world. I can only refer to what the scriptures say in experiences of believers under those conditions. And I know that they go through great difficulty, anguish of heart and soul, and so do we. But the reason why we're given a mega joy, because if we didn't have it, there'd be absolutely no hope. And we would have every reason to despair and not take another step. But we have a reason. It is joy to the world in Jesus Christ. I don't know how it all plays out in individual circumstances. Except I know when I became a Christian, God gave me mega joy. And it has carried me through very dark times. And that same joy is available to everyone here. So thirdly, how do I receive this mega joy? Where does it come from? It comes from Christ. What is this mega joy like? It's full. It's overflowing. It's surprising. How do I receive this in Luke chapter 2? "This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Where is it? "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to us to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." There it is. The mega joy is in the manger. But that boy in the manger grew up. And he walked this earth, and people went to him as he walked this earth to find that mega joy. And then that man, God-man, was nailed to a cross for our sins. And upon that cross is found mega joy. How do I receive this mega joy? Run to him. Flee to him. Go to him for access to this joy. Jump head first into the Niagara Falls of his joy. Totally and completely outside of our own will and outside of our own works and outside of our own self-efforts, we go to Christ and we say, Lord, I need you. I fall down on my face. I have no other resource except you. And by faith, I trust and I put my complete trust in you, not in myself. I repent of my sin. I have been a sinner against you. And I have attempted to find pleasures in this world that were outside of you. And Lord, I need you now. And God gives us mega joy. So let us repent of our foolish attempts to find mega joy in the things of this world. It's silly. Holding on to this world when we have access to bountiful joy, brothers and sisters. Donald Gray Barnhouse told this story of a man who was taking a trip on a boat, a long voyage, and he decided to save money, and so he purchased crackers with his ticket so that his crackers would be his only source of food on this trip. Crackers and cheese, and as the trip was going on, it was very humid, and the crackers ended up going stale, and the cheese ended up growing hard, and he tried his best, but he couldn't eat it any longer, and every day, the servants would come out with these full meals and plates of food and bring it to the other people on the boat, and he finally said to one of the servants, okay, I'll purchase a meal, how much is it? And the servant looked to him and said, sir, the meals are included with your ticket. And I feel like we as Christians sometimes, we're Christians, we're born again, we have Jesus Christ, and we're going to our cheese and crackers for joy. And we have boundless plenty available to us. So we need to lay aside the crackers of this world and dig into the bounty of joy that God has in store for us, so we pray for it. We fast for it. We turn off the TV. We shut off the computer. We lay down our phones. We close a secular book. We hang up the conversation and we drive home and we seek the face of God. God, me, Bible, joy. And we feast. And we feast. And we feast. Because in your presence is fullness of joy. The shepherds found mega joy. Will you today? Will you today? Mega joy is only available for a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ today? Have you 100% knowing, given your life to Christ? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm not perfect. I'm asking, have you said, I'm done with myself and said, Lord, I need you. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Save me. Change my heart. Have you done that today? If you do, not only do you receive forgiveness of sins, not only do you receive a promise of a home in heaven, you receive mega joy. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I don't know everyone's struggles. And Lord God, I don't want to be insensitive. I don't want to be out of touch with reality. I want to be faithful to you. And all of us want to be faithful to you. So I ask now for every one of us this morning. I ask that what your joy is that you promise to all people, that joy, I pray that we would receive by faith. We would receive by faith. We we receive it as a gift from your hand. And may your joy carry us through when we struggle, when we're having difficulties. May it be there, ever abounding, ever full, ever overflowing, ever surprising, for your glory, so that we can be a good witness to our fellow man, and that they will see that there's something different about us, and they will inquire as to who is the reason why. Please, Father God, bless us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.